Has anybody ever had life hit them in the face? Right? You're with me? Yes, it happens. And God is good in it. And so I have to say this. I'm sitting on a point because I want us to remember something today. That whatever circumstance that may not be all that great for you, it's not the only thing happening. You know, Thanksgiving, we were sitting around the dinner table. We had just finished off a couple fried turkeys or something like that. Stuffing the whole bit. And my dad said, hey, let's just do the classic, right? Let's go around and say something we're thankful for today. So we started to do that process. And I was a bit overwhelmed by the year that my family had experienced in this little moment. And I was thinking about all that's happened just in our family. And I'm sure this can relate. But my mom had a battle with breast cancer earlier in the year, overcame it. And that whole thing happened. My dad had a major back surgery, still going through it, but that's been a challenge. If you know our story, we survived the challenge of being front page news in the bad way, right? That was actually a very difficult season earlier this year. But then there's some good things. We purchased the building, yay. That never happens with a two-year-old church. I had a book come out. I mean, this is the all-in-one 2015, which is kind of weird. And we renovated a building, and now we're here today, all in 2015, and lots of big stuff happening. So we're going around the table, and we're talking about all we're thankful for, and I'm thinking about all that's happening, and we get around to my 92-year-old grandfather, and he says, I'm just thankful to be alive. And he says, I'm thankful to have been married for 66 years. And I'm sitting there going, man, like sometimes you need those reminders, like that it's not all about the moment. It's not all about the circumstance. That there's a lot more happening than just that. And so my dad shares a few minutes later and he says, you know, the first time I ever heard my grandpa pray 10 years ago. So he came to know Christ later. And about 10 years ago, he said, first time I ever heard him pray out loud. And his first prayer was, God, thank you for breath. I mean, sometimes I think we need that, right? Like to remember things that the bad circumstances are not the only thing happening. We live in a beautiful world. Sometimes as creation's all we got to remember that there's proof. You have provision, you are breathing. And so I'm saying all this, and this has nothing to do with you think, hey, we're going to get into this celebration thing. And I just kept thinking, I want people to know that God is with them today. God is with you. He is for you. I want to read a couple passages. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Matthew 28:20. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So today, we remember that we have a God who's with us, but we also remember we have a God who's good, and I just want to talk about a little bit, a small portion of his goodness, that he's done the miraculous. And I know some of you have never heard it, and so you get to hear it for the first time, but a lot of you have heard some of the story of our church a lot, but I'm going to touch on it because, frankly, it matters. It matters a whole lot what God's doing, and the story matters a whole lot. And I remember just recently I was subtly rebuked, all right? You ever been rebuked? It's always like, okay. But I was subtly rebuked in my excitement about a building, a 50 by 100 building. It's not very big, but it's big, isn't it? And I was subtly rebuked because it was simply this, the statement and my excitement. I was taken down just a notch. It's just a building, I was told. No big deal, right? It's just brick and mortar. And in many ways, this is brick and mortar and stone and metal or whatever you want to, what other materials are in here. And in many ways, that's very true. But in many ways, this is not just a building, is it? I hope you're with me. There's something more. And I don't mean like other buildings don't matter and this is the only one that matters. That's not what I mean. But when I come to think about what's going to happen in this building, I realize it's much more than just a building. It's a place where it's a home to a church family. And it's a place where people will raise their voice in worship. It's a place where people will come to know Jesus for the very first time in their life. It's a place that won't just store and sell products for profits, although those buildings are great too. It's a place that is sacred in some ways. And it's a place that, somebody said it earlier today, that God's presence will permeate out of this place into our surrounding community. And you know, God gave us a vision for 23rd Street. In fact, he gave us a vision for this very block between Walker and Hudson, that we were supposed to be here. And we encountered a number of unusual and big time obstacles along the way. Can I get an amen? And prices were skyrocketing in this area. And buildings that seemed to fit our needs were very limited. And on top of that, we were told by a number of people that there would never be a church in this area, especially in this particular area that I'm talking about. In fact, 3 years ago, exactly this month, we hadn't began services yet. I remember coming home one day after being on the phone with some people about some businesses in the area, and I was completely discouraged. And I come home and I put my head on the table and I'm like, what are we doing? And I was completely like, maybe we should just not do this. Or if we do it, maybe it should be like 24th Street. But here's what I've learned. Miracles don't happen on 24th Street. It's 23rd and 34th. But I was so discouraged, and I just remember thinking, you know, I just got that resolve at some point where the Lord's like, no, I'm with you. I gave you this vision. And I just remember thinking, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. And I've told it a million times, but I'll never forget the conversation near the beginning of this whole journey in which I was on the phone with a gentleman, and he was telling me about this area and these particular buildings right here on this block. And he just looked at me and said, hey, man, I'm not trying to beat you up. He said, but you just need to move on. There will never be a church anywhere near Tower Theater. No one would want that. Too many people won't want that. And I believed him for a minute, maybe for a few days. And that isn't what motivated us, but that's what I keep seeing. There was this obstacle and these resistance to some reason there being a light. And I said this to some of us last week. I love the fact that we're the first building on this block with our lights on. I love that when you drive by at night, it's all dark, but this one's lit up. And trust me, we're gonna pay a little bit more on electric because this building will always be lit up. Because it is the light in this street. And you know, the other thing I was thinking about is, okay, we have this incredible place where somebody said no one will ever be near Tower Theater, and we're sharing bricks. I like saying that. We're sharing bricks with a bar and with Tower Theater, the place nobody said we should be. And that's okay, and I like it. And I just want to say this, if a church doesn't experience some resistance, well, maybe we have to ask ourselves, does the church need to be there? And we've experienced quite a bit of resistance. And Christy and I will say this, up to the very end, we felt the enemy. Today, I can literally say to you that I've been having, this is not in the notes. I've been having like back pain and like crazy stress stuff and all this sort of stuff. Today, I don't feel anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about how the enemy has been working against us every day or every week. Not just over the you know, several months ago, but just the enemy's, there's resistance to us being here. And we felt it in our family. Some of you have seen it. Some of you have felt it with us. And I just keep saying, man, if there was no resistance, what the heck, why would we go in there? I mean, if it's wind in our back and glassy seas we're looking for, we're in the wrong business, right? And so I feel that our story can remind us that we have a God who is able. We have a God who wants to do immeasurably more. He's able to do what you ask, but what I love about his word is he says, that's not big enough. He's able to do more than you ask, but that's not big enough. He's able to do more than you ask and more than you imagine, but his word says that's not big enough. He's able to do all that you ask and all that you imagine, but that's not big enough because the word actually says he's able to do immeasurably more than all that you ask and all that you imagined. Ephesians 3, 20, 21, put it up there. You've seen this scripture, but now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. So for anyone that feels like this is normal, which I don't think anybody does, but just in case, this is not normal. We shouldn't be here under the laws of what is natural. And when we stepped out about 3 years ago, we literally had, and this is just, you know, I was thinking about this, like we had zero funding. We had no denominational backers. We're a non-denominational church. We didn't have anybody, nothing. It was just a group of people that said, we're going to step into this. And our hope and our desire is that we would be a group of people that would desire to be the church the best way we know how. And that's what it's been since the beginning. And we stepped out 3 years ago with literally just that desire. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't think this is normal for a three-year-old church. We're not even three, really, yet. So for those of you that have been with us, I just want to say well done. Great job. For those of you that are thinking about joining this journey with us, come on, it's fun. And this is a church family. We're not trying to be an organization. We're not trying to be the next big deal. We're not trying to be some big mega cool hipster, whatever tag, how do you want to put on us. We're trying to be a church the best way we know how. That's it. That's who we are. We're not trying to be anything else. And I have to say that over and over again because I really want the heartbeat of our church to be united around this, around Jesus Christ only, around his power of his Holy Spirit in this world and what he can do in this city and on this block. That's what we're about. So we have a God who is able, amen? We have a God who is good, amen? Hey, by the way, it's December. Christmas is coming, is it not? We are full steam in Christmas. How many of you guys love Christmas season? Come on, come on, give me some. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't know what that means. Because Christmas, even if you don't like, I mean, Christmas is a pretty big deal if you're a Christian. There's nothing like Christmas. 1 month a year, everything changes. We put lights in our house, we put reindeer, wherever, you know, whatever. It's just all this crazy stuff, right? And I actually put some decorations up. I have a plastic Santa and a plastic Frosty. I love them. They're vintage, but they're new. You get it? And so they run off a 60-watt bulb. I was going to put 100 watts in, but I was afraid Frosty would melt. There's nothing like Christmas. I mean, it really isn't nothing like Christmas. I mean, it's if you've ever gone to Target or Penn Square, you know there's nothing like Christmas, right? It'll change your life. Literally, I went last week to Penn Square Mall, and it changed my life. I'm never going back. I mean, it's done. Not in December. So we're 12 days away from Christmas, and I felt like, man, we got to talk about Christmas today. I mean, it can't, because this is where we're at, right? Like, this is the time of the year, and for just a few minutes, I wanted to at least touch on something because actually it ties really beautifully into where we're at in our story as a church. And we're 12 days away, so that's a big deal to me because we haven't done nothing. Christy, can you give me a list or something? I don't know. So the lessons, if you will, of Christmas ring especially true, if you will, from this idea of us moving into this neighborhood on Sundays. I know we've been gathering and we've prayed over this place, but we're officially here, and they ring especially true because if I was going to ask you to describe Christmas in a nutshell, if I said, hey, just kind of give me your own thoughts on what Christmas is all about. I mean, most of us in this room, eventually it would spill out, well, it's about, you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus. And we might also throw in, we really enjoy the season and the tradition and all the fun that comes with it. But most of us in this room would obviously acknowledge that Jesus is really the reason. And I want to read this passage, John 1:14. It kind of best summarizes what Christmas is. It says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus' birth was the equivalent of God putting on some skin and moving into the neighborhood. That's really what happened. Jesus became, he was the Son, right? He was the Son of God. And we all know that the Bible reveals God as in three persons: Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus comes and he puts on, if you will, skin, moves into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson writes in the Message version. And Jesus, though, in this process, did not lose his divine nature. No, he was fully God, but he was also fully human. And there was something happening, though, inside of this story of Jesus that I think I want us to at least touch on today. Because the whole season of Christmas, we make it about, oh, it's a season of giving, or it's a season of this. The story of Christmas is a missionary story. It's a story of a God on mission. Jesus came down from heaven to spend time with us, to build relationships with people like you and me who needed Jesus, who needed his grace, who needed God in their life. Next week, we're actually going to obviously spend most of our time, or all of our time, focusing on this act of Jesus coming down, descending, this full act of love, this extravagant act of love coming down for us. This is where we're going to go, but Christmas is a missional story. He moves in and he lives among us. And when I say it ties to our church, I think there's something alive in this particular passage in John 14. And it's this word, the incarnation. And the incarnation, if you know much about that, that's simply what that verse says, that the Word became flesh, that Jesus became incarnated and he was here on earth. And there's something about the word incarnational. What it means for you and me is we're not just in theory, because churches a lot work in theory, don't they? They love their community in theory, but they don't necessarily figure out how to serve and show their community how they love them. And incarnational means that you're going to actually leave out of these walls and we're going to actually show our neighborhood, you know, that we love them. Not just as a church collectively, but as individuals in our own neighborhood. And so from the beginning, our church, this church, what we've talked a lot about is how do we adopt the ministry of Jesus in an incarnational way? Maybe we don't talk about that a lot collectively, but we really said, how do we build a church that operates this way? How do we start to build a church that incarnationally is with and among our neighborhoods? So we talk about a lot about loving your neighbor. We talk a lot about what is our church doing to love our city and to serve our city. And so when I think about the story of Christmas, I think about the fact that we're moving in the middle of December and we get to really be reminded of what is this whole Christmas about, I want to show you a picture. This next picture, yes, we're familiar with this scene. This is the Christmas nativity, right? Well, for most of us, our best understanding of the Jesus part of Christmas is found in this nativity. This is the modern day American kind of picture of what Jesus means to Christmas. It's when he was born, right? That's what we'll say. What is Christmas about? Well, just celebrating the birth of Christ. Okay. Perhaps, though, there's a little bit more. Quick quiz. Tell the person next to you all the figures in the nativity scene. Go ahead. Tell them real quick. And this might not be accurate. It's just a picture. All right, you got them? How many of you guys said wise men? Wise men? How many said three wise men? Three? You're wrong. Actually, I don't know if you're wrong. We just know that there are three gifts. We don't know if there were three wise men or if there was two or if there was four and there's one that was really cheap. Right? Or there could have been 15 and they brought three gifts. Anyway, we don't know how many wise men there are. My point is this, that Christmas has been made into this caricature and this picture of a manger scene, which I love the manger scene. I'm not taking away from it. It is an important part of the picture of Christmas that Jesus came and he came humbly as a baby. And he lived a life like the rest of us live. But there's more to it because there's a reason and there's a purpose behind why he came. And it's this idea that the church, if you will, that he would eventually create, would model and follow his ways of incarnationally being among the people and sharing, if it's love, if it's hope, if it's peace, whatever it is. And I think for me, when I think about what we're doing this year, I feel like there's something really in tune and something very rich for us to grab a hold of in this idea that we are not just getting a building for ourselves. So it's not just a building, right? But we are hopefully learning and growing and expanding in our understanding of what it means to incarnationally be a church. That we aren't just doing this for ourselves, that we're following the ways and the rhythms of Jesus. So this is what Jesus did. And it's a reminder about when Jesus was asked, of course, we all know this one, when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? What does he say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he said is most important, right? Do we treat that as the greatest command? Or do we treat, you know, my behavior is what I'm supposed to do and give to God, that I modify my behavior? Or what is it that you give to God? Are we really saying, I'm going to love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I'm going to love my neighbor, and I'm going to treat loving your neighbor as part of the greatest command? Because then he goes on, all the law of the prophets and of the word hang on these two commands. That's what he says. Everything hangs on that. How many neighbors do you know? How many you know by name? How many of you could walk over to your neighbor and create a conversation with them right now? Some of you are like, well, yeah, I know this guy. I bump into him when we were mowing the lawn. I mean, this incarnational model, that's when I think about this Christmas story, I have to ask myself, am I being Christmas? Am I doing what really Christmas is all about? So here, we're officially moving into this neighborhood, and I believe God has appointed this time for us. I'm about finished. And we're gonna sing together as we close. But I believe God has appointed this time for us. He's appointed this time for our church. And I would even go as far as to say he's appointed this time for you. And when I say that, have you ever wondered and you ever thought about what, I mean, I'm sure you've had this thought. God, what are you doing with my life? Anybody? Have you ever wondered this? God, what are you doing with my life? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Anybody with me? Give me a head nod. Yeah. Maybe you're wondering that right now. What am I doing here? No. Maybe you have questions or you have struggles. Maybe, is anybody tired of being tired? Listen, just in case you wonder about the big questions of life, which I hope you do, I actually do want you to ask those questions. What am I doing? God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And there's nothing wrong with confidence. There's nothing wrong with feeling certainty about what God's called you to. There's something beautiful about questions to say, God, I'm really still wanting to hear from you. I'm going to continue to ask you. I'm going to continue to let you speak. I'm going to continue to let you, I'm going to hold everything in my life with hands that are wide open. You know, a lot of times we do this with the things we have in life, don't we? And we hold on to them and say, God, you gave me this, and I'm going to hold on to it with faithfulness. And no, he's saying, that's not the way I asked you to hold it. I asked you to hold it like this. So you can carry it faithfully, but I can take it out of your hands and put something new in it whenever I want to. And so I say, do you think about the big questions of life? I hope you do. Because just in case you wonder about that, I just want you to hear your life matters. And you're like, okay, thank you. No, your life matters. It matters what you do, matters what you love, it matters what you're motivated by, and it matters what you give yourself to. And Jesus came into this world for each and every one of us, and he cares what we do with our life. And you're going, what does this have to do with everything we're talking about? We serve a God who is good. That's where we began this day. And we serve a God who is able. And I don't care what your circumstances are. I do care, but I don't care what they are in the sense of. There's nothing too big, as we know, for God, and there's nothing that he can't meet you in. He can heal any hurt, and he can help any circumstance. And we have much to be grateful for. You know, today, there's simplicity here, and it's intentional, okay? I just want you to hear a heart that loves, and I heard the heart of our church loves what he's doing. We just love it. We love what God is doing. And we just want to keep up. And I want each and every person in here to know that your life matters, and it matters to God. And he can do anything, and he's good, and he loves you. And he can take whatever circumstance you have, and he can make it better, not just to feel better, but to show you that he's come to give you life to the full. I want every person in here to know that and to feel that. Well, today, I just hope that even as you're a few weeks or a few days away from Christmas, that you would feel a little bit more to this Christmas season in the fact that maybe perhaps we just got to remember why Jesus came. He came to move in to our lives, to change everything about it. Not just so we can have a good Christmas season, but one where we're just like, wow, he was on a mission. And that's what we're doing here. But today I want to invite you to respond to God. And in a moment I'm going to pray. And when I do, you can feel free to just sing. We've created these little spaces over here intentionally by the stage, just so you know that, hey, we want people to come forward and pray. And these little nooks are for that. There'll be people there that even be willing to pray with you. Well, I want to pray, and then we're going to sing one final song today. God, we thank you. You are good and you are able. And Lord, we don't claim that we've got anything figured out as a church or as an individual in this room. I know that. We don't. We need you every step of the way. And Lord, I pray today, even in the midst of excitement and in the midst of also of a lot of things happening, that God, that in the midst of that, we would hear your voice. Because I want every one of us to know that, Lord, you care about us. You love us. You came into this world for each and every one of us. Lord, may we respond today in such a way, because I do believe you've appointed times for each and every one of us. And sometimes the moment is the moment. We're supposed to respond right then. And so today, Father, any person that feels the need to move forward and to pray or to talk with someone, I pray that you would prompt them and they would do it. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your abundance and your blessing. We pray these things in your name. Amen.